1 Kings chapter 20. And if you'll allow, I'd like to read verses 13 through verse number 23. First Kings chapter 20, beginning at verse number 13. The Bible said, "And behold, there came a prophet unto Ahab, the king of Israel, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou seen this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into thine hand this day, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. And Ahab said, By whom? And he said, Thus saith the Lord, even by the young men of the princes of the provinces. Then he said, Who shall order the battle? And he answered, Thou, or you, are going to do it. Then he numbered the young men of the princes of the provinces, and they were 232. And after that, he numbered all the people, even the children of Israel, being 7,000. And they went out at noon. But Ben-Hadad was drinking himself drunk in the pavilions, he and the kings, the 32 kings that helped him. These would be the ones that would go against Israel. And the Bible said, and the young men of the princes of the provinces went out first. And Ben-Hadad sent out and told them, saying, There are men come out of Samaria. And he said, Whether they be come out for peace, take them alive. Or whether they come out for war, take them alive. So these young men of the princes of the provinces came out of the city and the army which followed them. And they slew every one his man, and the Syrians fled, and Israel pursued them. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, escaped on a horse with the horsemen. And the king of Israel went out and smote the horses and the chariots and slew the Syrians with a great slaughter. And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, Go strengthen thyself, and mark, and see what thou doest. For at the return of a year, the king of Syria will come up against thee. You know, Satan always comes back. And the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, Look at what they said. Their gods are the gods of the hills. Therefore, they were stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain. And surely, we shall be stronger than they. And I'm going to come back to that, but I want to go over to verse number 28 and look at what it says. And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel, and said, Thus saith the Lord. See, at first you were just challenging Ahab and God's people, but now you've challenged God. It came to pass, he said, there came a man of God, in verse number 28, and spake unto the king of Israel, and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hill, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore, I will deliver all this great multitude into thine hands, that you might know that I am the Lord. I want to use as a text for the lesson tonight, and all the time, God. And all the time, God. My lesson tonight is, has the objective to demonstrate that our God is a God we can depend upon at all times. And further, as we even pursue this theme of divine unity, I believe that one component of divine unity is God's insistence or God's desire to stand by us in spite of us. The text here surrounds the life of a man by the name of Ahab. Ahab was the king of Israel. But even though he was the king of Israel, he was not a good king. In fact, we find God's assessment of him in 1 Kings chapter 16. And looking down to verse number 29, the Bible says, "And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And the Bible said in verse number 30, "And Ahab, the son of Omri, did what? He did evil in the sight of the Lord. And not only did he do evil, but the Bible said he did evil above all them that were before him." That's a very bad tag to wear, isn't it? And not only was he not a good king, he was married to not a good woman. All I have to do is say her name and you know immediately. He was married to Jezebel. You know, Jezebel has become so synonymous with not being good that in the dictionary, Jezebel is an evil, shameless woman. But he took Jezebel to be his wife. If we look down to verse number 31. And then look what he did. He took Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, the king of the Zodians, and went and served Baal and worshiped him and reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. This man of God, this anointed king of Israel, was now serving Baal. But now, that's significant because look at what happens to him. Israel was just overcoming 3 years of famine when all of a sudden, if we go back to 1 Kings chapter 20, Ahab received a message from Ben-Hadad, the king of Israel. And look what the message said. The Bible says, if we turn to 1 Kings chapter 20 and verse number 1, he said, "And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his hosts together, and there were 32 kings with him, and horses and chariots. And he went up and besieged Samaria and warred against it. And then he sent messages to Ahab, king of Israel, and said unto him, Thus saith Ben-Hadad." In other words, this is what King Ben-Hadad has to say to you, Ahab. He said, "Thy silver and thy gold is mine." He said, "Your wives, they're mine. And thy children, even the goodliest, especially the good-looking ones, I'm claiming them as mine." And look at what God's anointed, the king of Israel, look at what his response was to this sinful king. The king of Israel answered and said, "My lord, O king, according to what thou said, or thou saying, I am thine, I'm yours, king. And all that I have is yours." This was God's anointed man. And here he was, backing down to another man saying, "Everything that I have, everything you want, king, is yours." You know, when I thought about that, I just thought I think there's a good application here, because many times in our own lives, just like Ben-Hadad came along and claimed everything that Ahab had. Many times Satan comes along and said, listen, your time is mine. Your affections are mine. Your money is mine. Young people, he'll tell you, your body is mine. And if you're not careful, you'll give over to the wants and to the desires of Satan. But this happened because Ahab was not in the right mindset, and he was not in a right relationship with God. Because he had grown in his dependence on gods of Baal and not in a dependence on the relationship of Jehovah God. When this man came to him, he didn't feel like he had anywhere else to go. And as a matter of fact, he didn't have anywhere else to go. But when I look at God, in spite of Ahab, God is a faithful God. Look again, if we look in 1 Kings chapter 20, and going back down to verse number 13. And there's so much that I could look at and read between verse number 1 and going down to verse number 12, but maybe spend some time reading that on your own. But when we come down to verse number 13, even in spite of Ahab and in spite of the way that he had lived his life, and in spite of the way that he had given his allegiance over to Baal, God sent his prophet to him, saying, Ahab, king of Israel, thus saith the Lord. He said, look, hast thou seen the great multitude? In other words, he was trying to help Ahab to see, listen, man, you're in the midst of it right now. You're about to go into a battle that you cannot win by yourself. Ahab was in a place where he could not take and defend himself. He could not take on the battle by himself. But in the midst of all of his degradation and in the midst of his disloyalty to God, God was there being faithful to him, saying, listen, look at the battle around you. And he said, behold, I will deliver it into thine hand this day. And he goes on to say, and you will know that I am the Lord. You know, one of the reasons that God can demand faithfulness from us is because God is faithful to us. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 13, it says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. God is a faithful God. And the thing that I get from this story, again, things written aforetime for our learning, if God stood by an Ahab that turned his back on him, if God stood by an Ahab that had gone to serving other gods, it lets me know that no matter what I go through, no matter what difficulty I might face, I serve a God who is willing to stand by me. He's not faithful just because of who we are. He's faithful because of who he is. He's the great I am. He had just proven the fact that he was a great I am back in 1 Kings chapter 18. Don't you remember when Elijah called all of Israel together along with Baal's 450 prophets? And he said, how long are you going to be caught between two opinions? He said, let's prove this thing. He said, okay, Baal and your prophets, you take a bullock and I'm going to take a bullock, and you take your bullock and you cut it into pieces and you put it on the altar and you put it on the wood, but don't put a fire on it. And I'm going to take an altar and put it on the altar and put some 12 stones around it, signifying the 12 tribes of Israel. And I'm going to put some wood there, and then I'm going to put the bullock on top of the wood, and I'm going to dig a trench on it. Then he told them to fill up 4 barrels. Then he told them to empty the water on the altar the first time. And then he said, fill them up again, empty the second time. Fill them up again, empty them the third time. Don't you remember? Then he told Baal and the prophets of Baal, call unto your God. There they were standing out there yelling, screaming. Bible said they cut themselves. They jumped up on the altar. Then Elijah had some fun. Why don't you call out a little louder? Maybe it didn't hear you. Maybe he's gone on a journey. Maybe he's talking to someone else. Oh, he was having a good time with them. But then, when it came time to prove the great I am, he called on God. Bible said the fire came down from heaven, and it licked up the stones, licked up the wood, licked up the offering, even licked up the dirt and the water all around it, because God is the great I am. He's I am from the beginning. He's I am to the end. He's the I am that is right now. He's I am in all power. He's the I am, the fact that he is God. He is I am in being the creator. I am in that he is our shepherd. I am in that he is our king. I am in that he is the rock. He's the great I am. He's not I was. I used to be. He's I am. Whenever I want to call on him, I am. He's there. He's available. And he can help us. I'm thankful that we serve the great I am. You know, because he is the great I am, he's able to bring us through any trial that we go through. Baal and his prophets showed themselves to be the great I am not. But God is the great I am. And you know, God chooses to do his work in the midst of the greatest adversity. That's why the prophet said, have you seen this great multitude? See, we have 232 young men, and the total of the children of Israel was 7,000. But as we go down in the text, we'll see that they were greatly outnumbered. But God has always done his best work in the midst of what seemed to be insurmountable odds. You know what that says to me? That when I feel like I'm down to nothing, I ought to know that God is up to something. In the time that I feel like I want to give up and I look around me and I don't see a solution, I look around me and I just don't see a way out of this thing, that ought to be the time that I start rejoicing, because that's when God starts to move. That's when he starts to move. When I look at this, Bible said, the prophet talked to him and said that this day he was going to deliver Ben-Hadad and the other kings and their armies into his hand. And look at Ahab. Ahab, and I understand why he asked these questions. Because Ahab wasn't right. Ahab said, by whom or who's going to do this? He said, the young men that you have. Then he said, who's going to order the battle? The prophet said, you're going to do it, man. Bible said again, he numbered the princes of the provinces. They were 232. And after them, he numbered all the people, even of Israel, being 7,000. They went out to battle, every man. In verse number 20, slew every man of the Syrians, and the Syrians fled, and Israel pursued them. Verse number 20, the king of Israel went out and smote the horses and the chariots and slew the Syrians with a great slaughter. And then again, as verse number 22, as we read just a moment ago, and the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, go strengthen yourself You know, when Satan comes and God blesses us to overcome a trial or overcome a difficulty, it's not a time just to exhale and say, oh, everything is all right now. I can cruise. Look at what the text said. He said, go and strengthen yourself. Satan is here today, and maybe, and as God helps us to overcome, we can't ever come to the point or come to the feeling that we've now got things whipped and we don't have to continue to work and continue to grow and continue to develop, but we've got to continue to strengthen yourself. And mark. What are you marking? I'm marking the fact that he's coming back. He said, mark and see what you do. Do some things that are going to prepare yourself for the time that he comes back. You know, sometimes people, instead of doing things that prepare themselves to be able to defend themselves against Satan, they do some things that put them right in Satan's company. But he said, mark and see what thou doest, for at the return of a year, the king of Syria will come up against thee. Then, but look at what took place. Bible said, and the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, see, they didn't take the battle too well. They said, listen, king, their gods are the kings, are the gods of the hills. Therefore, they were stronger. You know, in this particular jurisdiction, they were going to be stronger. But he said, but let us fight them in the plain. For surely we will be stronger than they. See, many times we find ourselves in the valleys. See, Satan wants to get you in the valley. When you think about hilltops and valleys, there's a metaphor for life. There are hilltop times in our lives, and there are valley times in our lives. When I'm feeling good and my body feels strong and there's no disease, hilltop. But when sickness comes, disease strikes my body, it can be a valley. When people are treating me right, saying all the right things about me, I feel close and nobody's doing things that are dishonest to me, hilltops. But when folk try to wrong me and do things against me, it can be a valley. When I got some money left at the end of the month, hilltop. But when I got some month left at the end of the money, valley. And you see, Satan always tries to get a change of venue. He tried to get you in the valley. He tried to hit you. He tried to discourage you in the valley. But I'm here to tell you that God is a God of the hilltop, and he's a God of the valley. I read in Psalm chapter 121, I will look unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. But I also read the psalmist says, Psalm chapter 23 and verse number 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He's with me in the hilltop. He's with me in the valley. And I think we ought to establish one thing right here as well. Just because everything is going all right in your life doesn't necessarily mean that God is fully in support of the life that you're living. Bible said he causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. In antithesis to that, just because things are going wrong doesn't mean that God has forsaken you. We got to realize that in the hills and in the valleys, wherever life brings us, the thing that I need to do is continue to be faithful to God. He's a hilltop God. He's a valley God. He's an all-time God. And when they began to challenge God, saying that, well, he's just a God of the hilltop, God said, I'm going to fix that. He said, I'm going to fix it. And look, they came up with their strategy. Look at what it says in verse number 24. I don't want time to get away from me. The Bible said, and do this thing. He said, take the kings away, every man out of his place, and put captains in the rooms, and put number thee an army, like the army that thou hast lost, horse for horse and chariot for chariot. What we're going to do, we're going to have the same army, but we're going to have a change of venue. He said, horse for horse, chariot for chariot, and we will fight them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And he hearkened unto their voice and did so. And the Bible said, and it came to pass, again in 1 Kings chapter 29, verse number 26, and it came to pass at the return of the year, there's that year, that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went up to Aphek. And that word Aphek, if you go back and look at the original definition, it means almost a word of a containment. With a vision of walls over here, down in the valley, is what Aphek means, to fight against Israel. And the children of Israel were numbered and were present and went out against them. And look at what the text says. And the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids or goats. But the Syrians filled the country. Then, as we read earlier, just a moment ago, the Bible said, and there came the man of God and spake unto the children of the king of Israel and said, thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, God didn't say that, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is the God of the hill, but he is not God of the valley. Don't you ever think, just because you're going through some stuff, that God has left you. I'm here to tell you, he's the God of the valley. God does some of his best work in the valley. When you're going through some trials, when you're going through some difficulties, and you handle them and you address them spiritually, God can do a lot of work with us in the valley. Because the Syrians have said, the Lord is the God of the hills, but not the God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver this great multitude into thy hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Look at verse number 29. The Bible said they pitched over against the other 7 days. And so it was that in the seventh day, the battle was joined, and the children of Israel slew the Syrians. Now remember how many we had? We had 7,000. But the Bible said the children of Israel slew the Syrians 100,000 footmen in one day. And then look at, when God does a thing, he does it to the utmost. Look at what happened in verse number 30. The Bible said, but the rest fled to Aphek, into the city. They thought they were safe, but the Bible said, a wall fell on them. And 27,000 men that were left died. He's an all-time God. And you know, and I just want to share some thoughts on these last three verses. And then the lesson would be yours. And the thought is this. See, if Satan can't devour you as a lion, he will deceive you as a serpent. Look at verse number 31. Now God had already blessed Ahab with the victory. But Ahab didn't do what God told him to do. The Bible said in verse number 31, and his servants said unto him, these are the servants of Ben-Hadad. His servant said unto him, behold now, we have heard that the kings of the house of Israel are merciful. Say, let us, I pray thee, put sackcloth on our loins and ropes upon our head. See, they're going to appeal to the sympathy of Ahab. And go out to the king of Israel. Peradventure, he will save thy life. So they girded sackcloth on their loins, put ropes on their heads, came to the king of Israel and said, thy servant Ben-Hadad said, I pray thee, let me live. And he said, is he yet alive? He is, my brother. Now the men did diligently observe whether anything would come from him and did hastily catch it. And they said, thy brother Ben-Hadad. Then they said, go ye bring him. And then Ben-Hadad came forth to him. And he caused him to come up into the chariot. And Ben-Hadad said unto him, the cities, look here, it's some dealing going on. And Ben-Hadad said unto him, the cities which my father took from thy father, I will restore. And thou shalt make streets for thee in Damascus, as my father made in Samaria. Then said Ahab, this is not what God told him to do, but then said Ahab, I will send thee away with this covenant. So he made a covenant with him and sent him away. But you know, later, I don't have time to go through the whole text, but later the prophet would come back to him in verse number 42 and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man who I appointed to utter destruction, therefore thy life shall go for his life and thy people for his people. God had been with Ahab. God had been with him through two otherwise impossible battles. And Ahab responded by disobeying the commandment of God. God has been with us. And he's been with us through some significant battles. God has been a good God. He's been a God of the mountaintop. And he's been a God of the valley. And whether my life is in the mountaintop or my life is in the valley, I have a reason to trust in and obey God. Just like he got Ahab through the battles that he got him through, God is going to get us through battle after battle after battle. But as he gets me through the battle, the one thing that I need to do is continue to obey his will. Amen. He's an all-time God. I can call on him 24 hours a day in the middle of midnight. I can call on him. Amen. And he listens to me. In the midst of my trouble, in the midst of my good times, I call on him and he hears me. In those times when I feel like nobody's listening, I can call on him and he hears me. That's a good God. And if he did it for this man, who had turned his back on him, I know that for this struggling servant, he'll do it for me. And that should be great consolation for each and every one of us, the fact that we serve an all-time God. A God who is a great I am, a God who is faithful, a God who does some of his best work in the midst of the most difficult time. Thank God for a God such as that. I hope you've gotten something from the lesson tonight. Amen. There might be some of you here tonight, might be someone who's not a member of the Lord's body. You need to become a member. Hear the word of God, believe the same. Repent of your sins, confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, go down to the watery grave of baptism. You come up and you are now the possession of an all-time God. He's going to go with you from here and even beyond this thing called life. Amen. There might be someone here that is a member of the Lord's body. Maybe you've been sometime man to an all-time God. God is faithful. And the thing that ought to be the response to every Christian is to be faithful in response. Maybe if you've not been living your life in a way that's pleasing and acceptable unto God, we call on you. We encourage you to make a change in your life. If there's anyone here that has a need, we ask that you please come as we together stand and sing the song of encouragement.
Oh, yielding a sin, and each victory will help you some others to win. Fight a man fully onward, dog, passion subdue. And I know we'll look ever to Jesus, and my Jesus will carry you. All you gotta do is just ask the Savior to ask him to help you, and he will comfort, strengthen, and keep. I know that he is willing to aid you, and my Jesus will carry you through.